IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
We are on separate roads today, honey. I miss you. Gosh, I hate to wake up without you. It makes me feel really sad, especially since we've got beautiful snow here at Park City and you're missing it. It's snowing again today.
I know. Oh, it is good. And I'm at Newport Beach and it is cold. It's really cold.
We're all wrapped up
in blankets. It's hilarious.
Well, you better explain why you're there, honey, because it's a pretty cool thing. It's a pretty cool reason. I mean, it's even a good excuse for not being with me.
It is a great reason. Our daughters, I have our three older daughters, and their three daughters are joining us soon, but we have been here for 24 hours on our own, and it's so great to just be isolated with your daughters, your favorite people in the world. Well, except for the sons. I mean, you know, we love them too. But anyway, it really is so wonderful. We've had such a good time, really kicking back and relaxing and talking about so many fun things. And so we are just headed to the airport to get our granddaughters in just about 45 minutes. So we're good.
So you get the picture, listeners, that I'm here in snowy Park City. Linda's at Newport Beach where it's supposed to be sunny, but it's not. And she is doing something that for years she has called M&FME, standing for Mothers and Future Mothers of IR Realm. But now that all of our daughters are mothers, it's just shortened to ME, the Mothers of IR Realm. And I love this particular one. This is not a big one. A lot of times Linda has all of them and they go on these wonderful trips. We should talk about that in a minute, honey. But for now, I love the threes in this because you're with three daughters and three granddaughters and three generations because each of your daughters who are there have their daughter there. And so 3, 3, 3.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're so excited. Those three granddaughters just all happen to be at BYU right now. So they are finding different ways to get to the airport. I think they're on the plane because we're going to go pick them up just a little bit. And they are so fun. They've all got their little separate tracks that they're on for their education, but they're really so amazing. It's going to be so fun to spend a couple of days with them.
But honey, justify this. How do you justify all of you and your three daughters, leaving your husbands, going somewhere to Newport Beach? What's the point? I mean, are you just purely there to just goof off and have fun and get? Are you there to get away from your parents? Let's come right to the point.
From your parents, yeah, meaning you. We came here for the food. It really is fabulous food here.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
We stopped at Trader Joe's on the way and got all of our favorite treats. And then we went to the most fabulous restaurant last night. But the main thing really is the talks that we're having. And we're having so much fun just reconnecting and figuring out what to do next. Everybody's got problems, you know, that they need to talk about and issues with kids and so on. And everybody's got some great spiritual insights and senses, and it's really been so fun.
So, but it really does. I mean, does it justify the name, the Mothers of IR Realm? Do your talks center around motherhood?
Well, not entirely. There is food also, but
you're talking about motherhood, food, and spirituality, right?
Right. But I did this started because after our children left, I thought, did I tell them enough about how important motherhood is? Did we talk about that? Do they know that that's the most important thing they can do if they can? I mean, I know we have dear friends that aren't married and haven't been blessed with kids, but if that is your privilege, it is the most important thing that you can do.
So you're going back to the initial reason, right? You formed Mothers of IR Realm, right? to be sure they knew what you thought and that you were up to date on what they were doing as new moms.
Right, exactly. And we do have one younger daughter. We had four boys in a row, and everybody is dying for a little girl there at the end, and we got our wish. She's so great. But her kids are like 8 and under, four of them. And so she's at an entirely different place. And she just had a nice vacation with her
family. Yeah, I was going to say, why isn't Charity with you? And the answer is
she just got home.
Does she travel more than any of our other daughters?
Oh, by far. And that's saying something because they all go like crazy. But wow, that she and her husband, you have to get on their schedule 2 years in advance to be able to fit into their travel schedule, which is crazy because he is an amazing professor at BYU and she's got some things that tie her down, but somehow travel comes first on their schedule.
Well, you know, honey, that you inspired me. We're going back in history a little bit now. I started F and FFE, Fathers and Future Fathers of Iron Realm, and we started doing little trips too. And there is something about just being with your sons and your sons-in-law, and in your case, just your daughters and your daughters-in-law. And let's just go back and forth rapid fire and tell some of the things we've done, not to make people envious because we had to sacrifice for a lot of these trips, but our last F and FFE trip, just me and my boys, was to Iceland. And there's a lot of hot tubs in Iceland, and we spend a lot of time sitting in hot rivers and hot thermal places and talking, and you get a lot of talking done when you're sitting in a thermal river. Now, what was you mentioned one. We'll go back and forth.
Yes, for sure. We have been to, we've been to California, obviously, because one of them lived there. So we kind of go where one is based sometimes, and then they have access to a lot of things that we can do together. But was Europe, absolutely. Because we had a daughter living there, we had a daughter living in Switzerland, so a daughter-in-law. So she organized the whole trip for us, and that was magic. That's by far our best one because she knew exactly where to go, where to take us. There was all kinds of hot air balloons, and it was just the time of year when it was perfect in Switzerland. So we went there, we went through Austria, we went to a fabulous concert in Austria, which none of us will ever forget. We had a fabulous experience.
I'm going to throw out two quick ones, because once we went riding Harleys with all the boys, that was wild, and another time we went riding horses with all the boys. And you do get a lot of talking done on horseback. I'm not so sure you get a lot of talking done on Harleys.
Right. No, okay. You're lucky if you can even open your mouth on a Harley. another favorite was New York City when Charity Sadie was there at school. She was at Columbia at graduate school, and we all crammed in her tiny little apartment and had so much fun just going all over New York and having the greatest time. Oh, we're making people jealous, honey. We better.
Well, and you went to one in London when Charity lived there too. And I took the boys halibut fishing in Alaska. I mean, you got to remember this extends back over a lot of years and there is some sacrifice in it. But again, it's the old theory of getting out of the comfort zone for you and for the boys or the girls and just talking and just essentially saying, hey, we're doing a lot of things. We've got a lot on our plates, but fatherhood's the most important thing we do. And let's talk about it. And how you doing? And can we help? And, you know, the rest of the boys there are uncles to your kids. How can the uncles help you with your fathering? And how can your father, me, the grandpa, the old guy, how can I help? And how can we just work together to have strong families? How can we fulfill our most important role of dads? And that's just kind of copying what you women were doing because we didn't want to be left out.
Well, it's so fun. And now we're starting on a next generation. So we have granddaughters-in-law. And it's really fun to have that experience too, and grandsons-in-law. So it's a whole new horizon when you go to the next generation.
Well, and that's what we're going to do in the second half of the show today, just to give you all a little preview. In fact, since one of our daughters is now a grandma, and she happens to be with you today, honey, we're going to, after the break, talk a little about grandparenting, which is kind of our theme for the whole month on Ayers on the Road, because we're talking about our new book, this new book, The Grandparenting Blueprint. And when you get on here with Shawnee after the break, I'm just going to read you a little excerpt from the book, which is about the perspectives of grandparenting. It's kind of early in the book. It's like a little sneak peek into the book, which gets released in March. So you listeners are going to know some secret stuff that no one else will know until they get the book. But we'll do that after the break. But before we do that, what else should we say about, you know, because a lot of people are listening in today because they know we're on this theme of grandparenting. What else should we say, honey, to grandparents about getting together with their daughters and sons in whatever atmosphere they can figure out where the topic of conversation is actually the kids, that third generation, that those grandkids for us or those children for our children, and how can we all focus? Everyone says that's our first priority, but do we talk enough about it? Do we brainstorm enough about it? Do we share our ideas? Do we share our problems with each other? I mean, shouldn't we all, I mean, isn't that the way you bind an extended family, is to have all of them talking together about that third generation and how we can make life good and teach life lessons to those kids, those grandkids?
Well, I will get to that in the second half for sure. But I have to say, to start out with it, I think it's so important to let your grandchildren know what you believe and what you love. Because sometimes we just are so attentive to what they want and, you know, let's have fun and so on. And it's really important for them to know what's important to you. And I think I have a chance to do that a little bit in Grammy camps, because music and art is important to me. The scriptures are important to me. I mean, did they really know what's important to you? I came to a point in life when I thought, gosh, I love this, but they don't even really know me. They just know me as grandma. And I think it's so important that the kids really know who you are and what you love.
I just want to underscore that, honey, and you do such a great job of it. I was talking to a person the other day who was talking about his wife. He probably shouldn't have said this, but he said, you know, my wife is just like, she's such a doting grandma. And the other day, one of my grandkids came to me, the grandpa, and said, isn't it great that we've got Grammy? And in the conversation, he became aware that this kid thought that his grandma was just his grandma, that was her whole life. He had no idea that she had a life and that she actually did other things. And in this case, she's an artist, and he didn't know that. And it was like, oh, maybe grandkids, since their only exposure to their grandparents a lot of times is when the grandparents are there or doting on them or giving them gifts or taking them on a trip or whatever, do they really know that you have a life? And it's important that they know that, because that's the only opening you're going to have to teach them the things that you love best. Like our grandkids wouldn't listen to you about music if they didn't know you were a musician, Linda, but they know you're a musician. They also know you love genealogy. They know they know the things you love, and it's not just so they can know you. It's so that it opens the door for you to teach them those things, right?
Yeah, it's true. I just do think it's really important. I went for a long time in my grandparenting before I realized that and think, wait a minute, did they know who I am? And so it's been a fun thing.
Well, let's take a little break. And then when we come back, we'll be joined by our daughter who I miss, but you're right with her, Shawnee, who has blessed us with our first two great grandchildren. And so get ready for that, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Okay, hi, we're back. I'm here with Shawnee. And it's been such a fun thing to be with these girls, as we've been talking about. It's so awesome. But here you go, Shawnee.
Oh, well, I don't know what you guys have been talking about, but I know that it's about grandparenting. And I think grandparenting is pretty amazing.
It is. And
well, you're kind of new at it. You're kind of new at it, Shawnee. But
I'm a brand new grandparent. My first grandbaby is going to turn 3. Just barely, you know, soon. And I just, you know, I'm trying to learn. And I will tell you one thing, that it is very, it's really, really amazing for my kids to have amazing grandparents, but it's very intimidating for me to be a grandparent now, because how in the world will I ever be as good as parents?
No, we lay in bed at night, Shawnee, thinking, wow, why weren't we as involved and as good at grandparenting when we just had two little grandkids as Shawnee is right now?
You are
invested in it, my dear.
Well, how can you not be when there are these two little girls? You guys, if you could see a picture of them, they're the cutest things in the world. And they have so much personality and they're so great. But I think about future, and I think about, oh, how will I do Grammy camps and grandfather's secrets, and how will I do this stuff? And I'm sure, as you guys always told me, whenever I asked you parenting questions growing up, your always response was, oh, you're doing it so much better than we could ever do it.
It's true. And we weren't making that up.
Well, I think you were making it up, but because you said it, I believed it and I rose to the occasion. And so maybe I can raise to the occasion with grandparenting too.
Yeah.
Well, when I think of little Murphy, your oldest granddaughter and our oldest great granddaughter, the first and the first, guess what I think of in my mind, Shawnee? I think of her wearing my gold medals from the senior games around her neck and doing a little dance and saying, thanks, grandfather.
Oh, that is my favorite video. It's so cute.
Says, anyway.
Hey, grandfather. Woohoo!
Yeah, the little woohoo at the end. And Ada's just as cute. I mean, didn't it worry you when you first had Murphy that you'd never, ever possibly get another one as cute as her? But you did.
Well, isn't it the same with parenting? I mean, it's just the same thing. Like, how do you wrap your love around more than one child? Because you love that one child so much. And then the next one comes and you just love them in a completely different and just all-encompassing way. It's just pretty amazing. But what have you guys talked about so far with grandparenting? I haven't been on the phone with this, but is there anything specific?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Shawnee, we're actually all month on Iyer's on the Road focused on this new grandparenting book, the Grandparenting Blue Book.
Yes, I've read part of it. Blueprint, right?
Blueprint. I mean,
get the name right, honey. It's
a lot of people don't know what a blueprint is today, but our publisher said, don't worry, the grandparents know what a blueprint is.
Oh, I must be old then.
There's a blueprint. But there's this one section in the book, Shawnee, that talks about having perspective. The idea that before you can really formulate the methods or techniques or the ways you want to be a grandparent, a grandma or a grandpa, you got to have perspective. So I'm going to read a little list from the book and that we're asking readers to consider. And I'll just read them, their bullet points, and have you guys comment on them. So here's the first one. Many of us will be grandparents for 40 years or more, which is more than twice as long as the time we had to parent a child in our home. What do you think of that?
That's pretty crazy.
It's hard to think about that. I mean, it's startling is what it is.
That's actually really interesting, yeah.
Number two, a majority of grandparents on a survey done by a life insurance company, 82% actually, said that grandchildren were the best part of their lives. Does that surprise you? I mean, that means the grandkids were a better part of their life than their husbands or their wives.
Well, I think that statement might be all encompassing, because I think that the more, just like we said, with having one child as opposed to two and one grandchild as opposed to two, it just becomes bigger and better as we grow and we fall more in love with our spouse, hopefully, and we fall more in love with our kids, and we're, I don't know, just life becomes bigger and you understand things kind of in a different perspective. So maybe that's why that is.
So the grandkids are not only delightful in their own right, they are what gives you perspective on everything else, maybe.
I think so.
That's a beautiful comment. Well, here's another one. There's no guidebook or owner's manual for grandkids. And unlike parenting, there aren't many resources or reliable things being written or podcasted to help grandparents. Why do you think that is? I mean, we're awash with parenting advice online and books everywhere and so on, but you don't see much in the way of resources for grandparenting. Why is that?
Well, I think the reason is because most grandparents try to and should step back, you know, a little bit from grandkids, like they do with parent. You know, when your kids are older, you're more in the cheering section and it's so hard to get off the field. But I just think you guys do such a great job with it, with still staying, like you have figured out a different avenue for it. And I honestly think that's kind of a new thing. Like I just, you know, being actively involved. I mean, my husband's parents are so beautifully involved in their own different ways too. And so maybe the reason why there's not so much about it is just that every situation is just so incredibly different.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause we live by our grandkids or we live far away from them. You guys get Bear Lake time with them. Other grandparents have to figure out other ways to do that. I think I'm so glad that you're coming up with this blueprint. Cause I think
What do you think, honey? Why is it that, you know, there's not more material for us?
Well, I think it is totally different. Johnny's saying exactly right, because there are some marriages of your children that aren't working out as well. And, you know, there could be a divorce involved and so on. There could be things that are really hard, or there may be personality clashes, you know, between you and the parents of the kids and so on, if you take over too much. And there's such a fine line to be so careful that you don't overstep your bounds and that you just make sure that you're only the backup. You're not trying to take over.
You just hit right on it, honey, because the next point in this perspective is that research shows that the main reason given by grandparents for not being more proactively involved is the fear that they will step on the toes of their kids, the parents.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm not sure that's true. Maybe that's just an excuse. Maybe the grandpa's just out there on the golf course and he says, well, the reason I'm not more involved is I don't want to step on the toes of my grandkids. I don't know. But I do think grandparents worry a lot about that.
Well, I feel like they should. That's a very real thing, because that can cause a lot of, I know some people that's caused a lot of problems with, because the grandparents say too much. So,
but we're not,
you do have
people,
to find
right?
the balance. You guys sometimes do. I'm just kidding. You never do. You guys really
true
do have
confession
a great...
on the podcast, Johnny.
No, you guys really do have a great, I think the key personally is just love, and you guys just love. No, and there's very so many different variations of that, but you guys just love your grandkids so much, and they can feel it, every one of them.
Well, you know, Shawnee, you'll remember we did that. We got a little worried about this at one point and did a survey. It was actually a written survey, which we had all of you as our sons and daughters and your spouses fill out. And it was about how much do you want our involvement? In what way do you want it? And there were multiple choice, like only when I ask or only when you think. I mean, we learned a lot from that, didn't we, Linda? It's not, we don't have carte blanche to just march in there and do whatever we want.
Oh, we really did. Remember when we looked at each other, there were some answers on there. We went, oh, oops. We had no idea. We had no idea. That's what they thought. And we backed off a little bit in that case. And it's good to ask. I think it's really a great idea, because you got to take their answers seriously. And so we reacted a little bit differently in those cases, and it was good. I think we're in good shape.
I love that so much because you guys are so good at communication, and I love that you did that because even in a family of 9 kids, all raised by the same parents, every one of us is probably going to want you guys to show up in a little bit different ways.
Right. And they're all married to different people.
Yes.
And so all come from different backgrounds, and you just have to be so careful that you're not overstepping your bounds.
Here's the longest little bullet point in this list we're going off of from the grandparenting blueprint. It says most grandparents want to be useful and relevant to their grandkids, to be effective, to make a difference, but there are a million questions. Is financial help a good thing or a bad thing? If we have several grandkids, should we treat them all the same or help the ones that need help the most? How do we get to know them individually as independent persons from their parents? If parents are the real managers and stewards, how can we be good supplements? How can we work in synergistic partnership with our children, the parents, to give grandkids what they need? Who should take the initiative in this partnership, the grandparent or the parent? How much should we try to help our grandchildren spiritually and with their values and their faith? What are some of the best practices? Do I have to rediscover the wheel for myself, or can somebody give me some ideas? I'm reading that now and wondering if we should have put that in, because that may make some grandparents say, whoa, it sounds like a minefield to me.
Well, it does. And I think you should have maybe divided that into about 12 different sections, because there are so many things there. Obviously money is an issue. And we've had so many parents, when we've been speaking to parents, saying, my parents are ruining my kids. I get this really great system going with money and everything, and they come along and just dump money on them because they love them so much. And this is their chance to really show them that they love them, give them anything they want. It really is a hard little juggling match there.
Well, there's one. Any thoughts on that, Johnny, before we go on?
I just agree. Amen. It's a really tricky.
And I think sometimes we think, you know, our kids are thinking, what am I going to get? You know, when my parents leave or my grandparents leave, what am I going to get? Am I going to get money? What am I going to get? And I think what we need to concentrate on is, what are they going to remember about us? What are they going to remember? I mean, they're going to remember the love, or are they going to remember the money? Money is really not important when it comes down to it. It's that love and that connection, person-to-person connection.
Okay, there's two more points. We'll end with these before we run out of time. I find this one quite interesting. Lots of parents form grandparenting groups to learn from and help each other. I mean, that's very common among parents. A lot of moms groups, you've been in some, Shani, you've been in lots of them, Linda, and we just sort of do that because we know, hey, I want ideas from other parents who I know. Maybe I even want to, you know, have a sharing thing where we tend each other's kids. But then you get to grandparenting, and it's like, well, we should know everything now. We have this group where we meet and talk about lots of things. One of the things that always comes up is grandparenting, and we've got some great ideas from other grandparents. I wish we'd do that more. So
yeah,
think about that one, and then the last one, and then give you two the last word. In a world where the norm is both parents working full time, and a world where grandparents are young and capable for more years than ever before, there are more opportunities than ever for teamwork families, quote unquote. As grandparents, we often have more time, more resources, more experience, and are better positioned to do what the scriptures call turn the hearts. There's this beautiful scripture, the last verse in the Old Testament, actually, that if we don't turn the hearts from parents to children, and from children to parents, and we might say from grandparents to children and the other way, it says the whole earth will be wasted. And I find that so sort of ominous, that if we don't turn our hearts within these three generation families, the earth is wasted. And I think that just means, what's the point? If our families do not strengthen and bond, why are we even here?
It's so true. It's scary. That is ominous because you realize there's a huge responsibility there. And it is true that a lot of parents are working, both parents are working full time and grandparents are pitching in, which is admirable. But wow, that can get to be pretty messy if we don't have some rules up front and some things that you've talked about, and so that it really works.
And Shawnee, you need the last word because you're one of the busiest people we know. I mean, if people knew all that you do, and yet somehow you manage to prioritize not only your kids, but your grandkids and both sets of grandparents who are both pretty invasive sometimes. How do you do it? What are your last thoughts?
That's interesting. That's an interesting comment right there. But I just think it comes down to relationships, I think, and communication. And I just think, like what Mom said earlier too, just what are our kids going to remember? What kind of legacy do we want to create? And I think when, you know, we recently had our kids together, just our kids, and I was kind of lamenting after, just thinking, oh, I just want so much for them to know this and that. And my husband reminded me so powerfully. He just said, love is the best teacher. And we don't have to, like, I just feel a little bit emotional about that because I was trying to teach him. I was trying to make sure that I, you know, just live my life in a way that I really feel is genuine. But it all comes down to love. And honestly, if we just love those kids, they're going to remember that.
And can't go wrong.
I just don't think, I think that's always, I think it sounds trite, but love is always the answer. And it takes a lot of work. Like it doesn't, it's just like, oh, I love you guys. It takes the little texts that Mom does to all those kids all the time, just texting individually. Like, I love you. I'm aware. I see you. Even when she has so many grandkids and you, Dad, taking them, you know, telling him about grandfather's secrets and all those things. I just feel like those little bonds are the big things.
Oh, that's so well said, Shawnee. And you listeners who have loved what you've just heard from Shawnee should know that you can keep up with her right on her kind of famous, or is it famous or infamous, Shawnee, your blog, 71toes.com. That's easy to remember. A seven and a one, 71.co, 71toes.com. Check it out.
Remember, but hard to say.
There's a story behind it, and you'll find the story on the blog. So we love you all. Thanks for tuning in. And Linda, give your final line here about see you next week.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. You're great.